As we begin today, this personal note. My heart goes out to the people of Poltava, Ukraine. I visited there about a decade and a half ago, where I danced with a pensioner in the city square, where they gathered each and every noon hour to celebrate their retirements, where I listened to Poltavans wondering, hoping, Ukrainians thinking about democracy, and where I visited that hospital, which you all have now seen, that Russia bombed.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Lend the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of September 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing. We'll discuss the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana will bring us up to speed on crop conditions in their regions. You can find and listen to the Closing Market Report anytime you'd like online on demand at WILLAG.org. December corn for the day settled at $4.12¾ of a cent, up 3½. The March at 4.31, 3¾ higher. And May corn at 4.41, up 4 cents. November beans 10.21½, 9½ higher. January 10.39¼, up 9¾. And March soybeans at 10.53¾, up 9¾ of a cent. Bean meal $8.40 higher. The bean oil down 76 cents. Soft red winter wheat down rather up 14 in the December at $5.80¾, and the hard red December at $5.93, up 16¾ of a cent on this Wednesday afternoon. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us to discuss a marketplace that may have, feels like, could possibly be in the midst of a turn, or at least a bottom. I don't know how much of a turn. but anything in the way of upward momentum feels really good after what's been a disastrous late spring, summer, and into this time frame of early fall. How do you feel about the marketplace, and what are farmers telling you?
Well, we had a lot of farmers that were selling. I call it forced farmer selling because they didn't want to pay the new DP charges if they had grain in DP last week. Now, here at TGM, we don't force farmers to sell we never force them to sell, but the new DP charges don't kick in until October 1. So they've got another month before the charges kick in. But most elevators in the country have a September 1 date to incur new charges. And so most farmers had seen enough and didn't want to pay, you know, throw more money after this crop. So there was a lot of what I call forced farmer selling the last 10 days of August. And that really did pressure the market. And now that we've gotten past that September 1 date, surprisingly enough, the forced farmer selling has stopped. The funds have decided to cover a little bit. Part of that is they're unwinding some of their long stock market equities trade, short commodity trade. So they're selling off stocks and buying back some of their commodities. So that's helped a little bit. Part of it is, too, just the fact that the farmer selling pressure has eased up a little bit. And then the third thing is it has been a little dry in quite a few areas across the Midwest. We were very fortunate here in Central Illinois to get that 1 to 1.5, 2 inch rain last Friday. But a lot of areas, I'd say maybe a third of the state got rain, but two thirds didn't. Now there's very little rain in the forecast for the next 10 days. So, you know, some of these areas might go 20 days without very much rain, and that will probably shave a little bit off of the top end yield of the beans. I think the corn's far enough along that it probably won't affect the corn yield very much, but it could affect the beans. And so that combination of, you know, maybe a slightly smaller bean crop, funds covering, and lack of farmer selling, I think all has contributed to the rally this week.
Does it mean we have turned the corner for a more friendly marketplace and are now headed up, or is it a sideways run?
I think it's more of a sideways run. You know, we probably overdid it a little bit to the downside, but we've rallied 20 cents in corn and 50, 60 cents in beans. So the big picture is we're still looking at a 2 billion bushel carryout in corn. And for soybeans, we're looking at a 500 and some odd million bushel carryout. And we know South America is going to plant more beans. not as many as what they could have, but it still sounds like a 1% increase in Brazil and a pretty substantial increase in Argentina due to the fact that that leafhopper beetle transmits the stunt disease corn. And so there's a fair amount of concern about planting corn losing yield. So I've seen, 10, 15% less corn acres, and those probably would go to beans in Argentina. So big picture is we still have a lot of potential beans supply in the pipeline. So I don't want to get too bulled up on soybeans. I'm glad to see this rally, but it's probably one of those things that we need to take advantage of.
I made note of a Reuters story last night, or this morning actually, out of India, that because of a change that nation had made in hopes of keeping sugar cane producing sugar in that country to sweeten their tea, I suppose, maybe other things, that ethanol has had a boost, and potentially just flat out corn imports. India has been an exporter of corn. Has that entered into the marketplace at this point, that they're going to be out and maybe an importer of corn now?
That has not entered the marketplace yet. That would be excellent news. I mean, India, obviously the biggest country, I think their population has passed up China's. So, the problem is they grow a lot of their own crops. They're self-sufficient. Like you said, they do actually export above and beyond what they produce. So if they would start importing ethanol, that would be a tremendous boost to the corn market. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
We will keep an eye on that. Also, you have mentioned, and we've talked about this several times over the last month, the carry in the marketplace, particularly for corn, I believe, but for both crops, corn and soybeans. Is that still there? Does that still offer producers an opportunity?
Definitely does. We've seen the spread narrow just slightly, maybe by a penny or two in corn and 2 or 3 cents in beans, but the carry is still there. July corn is $4.45. December corn is $4.10. So that's 35 cents in the futures market. And then when you assume basis will probably improve about 20 cents, 25 cents over that time, bins could easily return over 50 cents a bushel for both corn and soybeans if you're willing to keep it on into the summer. So yes, the carry is definitely still there.
What other things are you talking to producers about this week?
We're looking at the 25 crop. December 25 corn is approaching 450, and I know that's not a great price, but if it would work up a little bit more to where somebody could get 450 cash corn right out of the field, this year we're still sub $4, so maybe 450 isn't a bad place to start. And likewise on soybeans, November 25 soybeans are 1060. If they could get anywhere close to $11 on the board, that would be like a 1075 cash. And with all the potential supply issues that we will have with soybeans, the big crop, both North America and South America, that anything with a 10 in front of it could look good when it's all said and done.
Yeah, those would be approaching what the FarmDoc team has identified as the midpoint for December and November futures over the last more than a decade now, 15 years or 16 years, or the new plateau. And under normal conditions, anything above that would be what you ought to maybe target as a sale. But when you're in the bottom side of it anyway, anything close to it might be worthwhile. So it'd be interesting to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we do have to take a more proactive, defensive approach. I mean, we're just not going to see those, $13, $14, $15 bean prices, and we're not going to see the $5, $6, $7 corn prices that we've seen the last couple of years. I think we have to reset our expectations more to $4 corn and $10 beans, and anytime we can get above that, we probably have to take a look at that.
What do you think about the first harvest prospects here? Not for yield, but when it might take place.
There's going to be some next week, very little. But the following week, I think, is when you'll start to see more people. And then that third week, everybody should be going. We could start earlier, but I don't think there'll be a lot of incentives like we've had in the past. There's been some quick shipment premiums and half price drying type things to get grain moving, but the pipeline is already full. We're still sitting on a bunch of old crop corn from last year. So the last thing I think the market needs to do is incentivize farmers to take it off early. And if there's no incentive, with the farmers trying to cut costs, I think they'll try to let it dry down in the field as long as they can and save some drying charges.
Yeah, it does feel like the corn crop came in already once. Maybe twice. We'll see how that goes. Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 60% of the corn crop has now entered the dense stage, 58% is the five-year average, 20% has reached maturity, 13% is the five-year average. The condition of the crop, 50% good, 15% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 49 and 16. Soybean setting pods at 94%, dropping leaves at 13%. The rolling five-year average there is 10%. And the condition of the crop is 52% good and 13% excellent. Now, here are updates from across the Midwest.
This is Susan Coles. The state experienced hot conditions and scattered rain this past week. Iowa farmers averaged 5.3 days suitable for fieldwork during the week ending September 1, 2024. Activities included preparing for the fall harvest and hay cutting. Subsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 19% short, 75% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn in the dough stage or beyond reached 94% this week. 61% of the corn crop reached the dense stage, 5 days behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Corn mature reached 10%, 2 days behind last year but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition rated 77% good to excellent. Soybean setting pods reached 95%. Soybeans coloring reached 18%, 4 days behind last year and 2 days behind the five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves began at 2%. Soybean condition was 77% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 64% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Susan Coles.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. Rainfall was above average in most parts of Illinois last week, and temperatures were also above normal. Rainfall averaged 1.04 inches across the state, and that was almost 1/4 inch above normal. Temperatures averaged 78.5 degrees, and that was 5.3 degrees above average. There were 5.5 days suitable for field work around the prairie state last week, and topsoil moisture was rated 8% very short, 23 short, 67 adequate, and 2% surplus. That is a little wetter than the previous week. 96% of soybean acres were setting pods compared to 89% 1 year ago and 91% for the five-year average. 14% of acres were dropping leaves compared to 3 normally, and we received a few reports of soybeans being harvested. Soybean conditions improved slightly and were rated 10% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 68% good to excellent. 70% of corn acres have reached the dense stage compared to 63 1 year ago and also 63 normally. 24% of corn acres were mature compared to 11 normally, and harvest has begun in some parts of the state. Corn conditions were rated 8% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 71% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 11% very poor to poor, 37% fair, and 52% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky, Indiana State Statistician. Dry conditions were most pronounced in the north and west portions of the state. Corn dough progressed neared completion and was on pace with the previous years, while corn didn't progress continued ahead of the five-year average pace. Corn silage harvest remained ahead of schedule. Soybean sitting pods and dropping leaves were both progressing ahead of the respective five-year average paces. Corn and soybean conditions both decreased slightly, and farmers were concerned that the lack of rainfall may impact yields. Pasture conditions decreased from the previous week with less than half of the pastures in good and excellent condition. This is Nathaniel Wernske, Indiana State Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report online on demand at willag.org. Our theme music is produced, performed, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, it has been just fantastic sleeping weather.
Yes, it has. I've done the same. It's so nice to have those windows open and let the crickets put you to sleep, and it's cool all night long. And yeah, it's really nice. And it's hard to believe we're already into September. I will miss summer before too much longer, but yeah, it's been really good. And we're seeing a lot of the late season crop and farming activity advancing really well because of this environment.
Don't tell me about harvest, not particularly about progress, but what harvest will be like and how the weather will help out with progress or not.
You know, I don't have any real good reason for generating large volumes of rain in parts of the key Midwestern crop areas over this next couple of weeks and maybe longer. I think the tropics are going to have to kick in to bring moisture into the region. The tropics are just having a real hard time generating anything meaningful in the Atlantic or the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico. You know, we have three little disturbances out there that the Hurricane Center has been watching this week, but they have just failed to do much more than produce a few light showers and thunderstorms. So the Hurricane Center has dropped their potential for tropical cyclone development for all three of these disturbances. So we're now talking about, you know, mid-month before there's any kind of firing up of tropical activity. So with that in mind and knowing that we've got ridginess in North America that wants desperately to continue to prevail, I think the odds are real good that we're going to see a good harvest season. It's going to be a drier environment. We are going to have warm days and some milder temperatures at night. We do have a little short-term bout of cold air coming in for the latter part of this week and into the weekend, but it's only going to last for about 3 days, and we'll turn right around and warm it back up again. The only negative thing that I see out there at the moment is our rivers. We're not getting a lot of moisture. The river levels are slowly coming down. I think the last I saw, the river gauge on the Mississippi in Memphis was pushing pretty close to where we were a year ago, and we had a lot of restrictions on barge traffic last year. And, we may end up on that same road. I just don't think we're going to get good rainfall for a while. So that's the only thing that I see that's negative. I think from a crop maturation and harvest progress perspective, it looks really good.
You know, farmers were listening to you and they said, that's the only thing. Freight rates are going to go up and it's going to, I'm not going to get as much for my crop. They're very, very happy at this point. It's been a tough pricing season for them, yes. But a very good production season, hopefully for almost everybody. So a lot of bushels to move, which also helps out tremendously. I do want to talk about some other areas that can produce a tremendous number of bushels in South America. Their planting season has begun now. What can you tell me about those areas that might be moving at this point and others that will move when the rains come?
Yes, there's been a lot of chatter in the marketplace these last couple of weeks about what's going to happen in Brazil. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are in the doldrums on these prices out there, and everybody's looking for the next potential lift in the marketplace. And La Nina continues to be advertised by NOAA, but I think NOAA is becoming a kind of an isolated group. The Australian Bureau of Meteorology says no La Nina through the balance of this year. The New Zealand group of meteorologists are saying pretty much the same thing. They just jumped on board with that. And my personal opinion is that we won't see La Nina, certainly in the next several weeks. And if we do see any kind of tendency towards La Nina, it's not going to be a full-blown event. So what that translates into for Brazil is a potentially good growing season, unfortunately. And I say that from a just from a price perspective, there's going to be plenty of grain. What is going to take place here? It's going to be a little slow getting started with some shower activity. And I think a lot of folks are seeing that right now when they look at the Amazon River Basin and they notice that there's no cloudiness, there's no rain occurring there. And if I look around the world right now, the intertropical convergence zone, which is really what brings the rain to the Amazon River Basin, it also brings rain to Central Africa and also into Indonesia. And for right now, that intertropical convergence zone is kind of stuck at a higher latitude than it normally would be right now. And so it is going to start moving southward, but it's going to run about 2 weeks later than usual. So that means late September rainfall in Brazil is probably going to be sporadic and pretty limited. And there'll be a lot of chatter in the marketplace about that, maybe an opportunity to move prices higher. But I think when October gets here, it's going to be the other way around. We're going to start seeing better rains evolve. And I certainly see the end of October, November, and December looking pretty normalish for that part of the world. The rains might be a little lighter than normal, but Brazil gets far too much rain to have the kind of ideal crop that it could have. So if they have a lighter than usual precipitation bias, and yet the rains are timely, they're going to do really well. And I think that's going to be the case. Argentina is pretty dry again, and a lot of folks are hoping La Nina kicks in and keeps them in a drought, but that's not going to be the case. I think we're going to see a change in Argentina's weather in the second half of September with more frequent rains coming on, and that's going to bolster the soil moisture and get planting off to a fairly good start there, with October looking even better still.
And finally, can you check in on the Black Sea region, parts of Eastern Europe for me? They have suffered through a very dry, very hot growing season.
Yes, indeed. You know, it all started in that area from East Ukraine into Western Kazakhstan, including Russia's southern region. We saw a big loss in winter wheat production last spring because of that. And that dryness returned as we got to the end of July, and certainly in August, it's festered significantly. So now it's not only persisting in that same region, but it has expanded all the way back into Eastern Europe, including the lower Danube River Basin, the Balkan countries, and all of that region is seeing daily highs in the 80s and 90s right now, and it hasn't rained for a while. Now, areas right at the Black Sea coast have been doing a lot better in the past week to week and a half. There's a stationary upper-level low-pressure system hanging out over that region. And so there's been daily scattered showers just right near the coast in southern Ukraine and Romania and Bulgaria, even Turkey. And that's going to continue for a little while. But boy, you get, you know, 150 miles away from the water there and it starts getting really dry. And we're not expecting any kind of serious change over this next 10 days to 2 weeks to this pattern. So we're going to continue to see the late season crops really struggle in unirrigated areas. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of yields we get out of some of that region.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day. Enjoy those nighttime temperatures.
Well, you too, and I will. That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.